Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we start in on the message today, I want to give you a brief update on what's happening here in Africa. As I spoke before, we're coming to you from Kenya today. It's getting hot and a bit dry again. And so we're thankful this week we harvested our maize crop, had a pretty good crop, about six bags, 90 kg bags of maize off of an acre. So we're very thankful for that. In the ministry, we had visitors from a couple of different places this week at the children's home. The children just got out of school a couple days ago. And so we had visitors from Kakamega County Children's Agency. We had visitors from Busia Ministry for Children. And so it's been an exciting time at the children's home. And the church, we're getting ready next weekend to have a youth conference. And so that's going to be an exciting time, 3-day youth conference coming up. And so we praise the Lord for that. Crusades, we finished in Tanzania just 2 weeks ago. And so we're planning another crusade, hopefully over in Congo, starting to talk to people over there, over the Democratic Republic of Congo. And we'll be going over there in January or February, good Lord willing. And we'll be preaching in Goma, the capital city of North Kivu province. Goma's a pretty big city, about 2 million people, and there's a big refugee crisis going on there in Goma right now. And so we'll hopefully be going there, putting our boots on the ground in North Kivu and the Congo, and bringing the gospel message of salvation, but also the message of peace into that region, which is now starting to get stirred up again by rebel armies and a lot of warfare and rebellion. So pray about that with us. We'll have contact information if you'd like to help support this ministry coming up at the end of this broadcast. Well, today we're going to be talking about the spiritual gifts given by God, and this is not gifts of the Holy Spirit, so do not refer to these as gifts of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit last week, and that list of gifts, 9 gifts, is given in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and they were given by the Holy Spirit at the Spirit baptism. They are given on any particular day or any unparticular day, I guess you should say. Anybody can receive them at any time. Doesn't have to be any certain time, but they were poured out on the day of Pentecost to the body of Christ. And those are the spiritual gifts. You can look on the website, gatheredtheoutcast.com, and click on Radio Archives. We've got all of our radio archives up to date, posted there. And so if you missed that on spiritual gifts, you can go back and catch that on the website. But today we're talking about the gifts given by God, and these are in Romans chapter 12. And if you think about these gifts, they're not really charismatic gifts like the ones, like the spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit. They're more gifts for the body of Christ as the body of Christ ministers to the outside world from within the church. And so they list some things here. Paul lists some things that are a bit unusual, but very common in the church, but have been a bit unusual compared to the other spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So Paul says to the Romans here in verse 3, let's start in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly," or not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, "but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." And so that's the start of the gifts that are given by God. God first gives you a measure of faith, and you may say, "Well, I don't have faith to do anything. I don't have faith to step out and do anything for the kingdom." Beloved, just step out. God has the faith, first of all, that he's given to you, that little measure, that little mustard seed of faith that he has given to you. But also, where you lack faith, where your faith is wanting and you're saying, "Lord, I don't know if I have the faith to do that," where you are saying that and the devil has you convinced that you don't have the faith to do it, Just believe God's word if you're lacking faith, and that faith that God has and the strength that God gives you will make up for the faith that you lack. You have to believe his word. Beloved, when you start to believe God's word, you don't even have to pray for some of the things that he has already given you. When you start to believe God's word, every word of the Bible is given by God, and it is given for our instruction, for our encouragement, for our reproof, our rebuke, and it is God-breathed. Every single word is God-breathed, and it comes from the heart, the mouth, and the mind of God. And so when you start to believe God's word, you will then have faith. Your faith will be stirred up then to do what God has called you to do. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 that the works that he has called us to do, those works then he has spoken over us before we were born. He was spoken over us beforehand, it says. And so God already has planned for you the things that he wants you to do. You don't have to sit and ponder, well, now, does God have anything planned for me to do? Yes, he does. He planned it even before you were born, even before you were saved, even before you were baptized, even before you started to study the Bible. God planned the works that he had for you. So you have this little measure of faith. Let God encourage you and stimulate you with that measure of faith. For Paul says, for as we have many members in one body, he's talking about the body of Christ, so all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of each other. And so you look at a body of Christ, say any particular church, and you go in there and you talk to people and they will tell you, well, I have this strength, I have this weakness, I have this strength, I have that weakness, I have this passion, this I don't care about. That is the way God promotes and stimulates and provokes people in the body of Christ to do his work. Some are given strength to do things in this way, gifts to do things this way, gifts to do things that way, and that is the way the body of Christ is put together. And Paul says, although we are one body, we have individual members, just like you have 10 fingers, but when you put them all together, it makes two hands. You have 2 feet. When you put them with your legs, you can run, you can walk. That's the way the body of Christ is put together. The individual strengths then make up the strength of the body of Christ. Okay, then in verse 6, Paul goes on to say, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And the grace that is given to us is the grace to do God's work. We're not perfect. We never will be perfect. God overlooks our weaknesses. He overlooks our faults. In fact, Apostle Paul says, when we are weak in ourselves and acknowledge our weakness, then God makes us strong. When we are weak in ourselves and realize we cannot accomplish what God has for us to accomplish, then he makes us strong. And so when we are weak, we have grace then to do what God wants us to do. So Paul says, let us use these gifts. And then he starts listing this list of gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to the faith. And so the prophetic gift is given to exhort, that is to encourage, and to console, and to edify, that is to build up. To console is to give comfort in situations where comfort is needed, and edification is to build up, to strengthen, so that you can stay in the fight and go forward in the fight. And so your ability to prophesy, Paul says, is given in proportion to your faith. And so when you have great faith, there are some prophets out there that can start speaking words over people, and you would swear that they've known you all their life and that they've read every piece of mail, every email, and every text message you've ever got. They can just read your mail from A to Z and front to back, and you would not know where that gift from. It's because they have great faith to believe when the Holy Spirit speaks to them that he is speaking the truth for you, the person that he is speaking to. So that's the gift of prophecy. And then verse 7, he says, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. And ministry is basically service. There are many facets to ministries here in Africa. Some people have a well drilling ministry, which is a critical, vital ministry. They run machinery to drill wells. We have some people that are evangelists, stand on a platform and preach the word. We have people that are church planters. I just talked to a pastor the other day who has 35 churches planted under his church umbrella. And so there are many facets to ministry, but it's all about serving people in the greater world, in the world outside the church, and sometimes inside the church also, serving them so that they can have an understanding of Jesus Christ, an understanding of his kingdom. And many people are brought to the Lord because of works of service or works of ministry that touch their heart, and they wonder, why is this person doing this unusual act of kindness, giving us water, giving us food, giving us shelter, clothing, whatever. There are many ministries here in Africa that are strictly service ministries. They serve people inside and outside the body of Christ to further the kingdom. And so that is important. That also, Paul says, according to our proportion of faith, that you can do ministry or serve people. And that is also in accordance to the proportion of your faith. Then the third gift listed here is teaching. And teaching, of course, we've talked about this before. It's very important to teach sound doctrine so that people understand what the gospel says. There's so much misunderstanding about what the gospel says, what it means. People don't truly read the gospel very much. They don't truly study it, especially here in Africa. Very few people really actually study the gospel. And so there's so many misconceptions, so much misunderstanding. And so sound doctrine in every facet of life, from marriage to other relationships, to relationships with your children, to stewardship of God's resources, finance, all that kind of stuff, in addition to salvation doctrine and doctrine of gifts of the Holy Spirit, doctrine of spiritual gifts, all these different things, doctrine of grace, doctrine of sanctification, justification, all of these things then make up the gospel. And it is important to have an understanding of them. And people cannot have an understanding many times unless somebody teaches them. Well, Paul talks about sound doctrine here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. He says, for the time will come when they, that is people listening, will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And so the time is coming, and it is right now. This is the time when Paul was talking about, when people don't want to hear sound doctrine. Many times when we go to the Crusades, people dance, dance, dance. They love to dance. They love to listen to the singing. But when it comes time to listen to the preacher, people find an excuse. The devil gives them an excuse then to leave, and they have no regard then to listen to good teaching, listen to the presentation of the gospel. And Paul said that time is coming, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And so it's important to teach good doctrine. It's important because all of the Bible is good doctrine. All of God's kingdom is based on the truth of the scripture, and the truth, Jesus said, will set you free. 2 Timothy 2, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And so we have the true word of God. We have the truth before us. Get your Bible out and read it. Get your Bible out and study it. Get into a good Bible-believing, Bible-studying church and a Bible-preaching church, and get into some small groups and have good fellowship with good people seeking to know God's will for their life. Study with them, pray with them, encourage them, and beloved, your walk with the Lord and your walk on this earth will take a leap forward when you get in a church and join a small group and start to study and ponder on God's word, meditate on it, and apply it to your life. Application is so important. Apply it to your life so that those around you can see the gospel at work in your life. You can become a testimony, but also your own life will then start to be blessed, start to benefit, and start to be raised up into the calling and the destiny that God has called over you. So then in verse 8, Paul says back in Romans 12, verse 8, and he who exhorts on exhortation. Well, exhorting or exhortation is just encouragement. Be an encourager. I remember one time we went to Mexico on a mission trip to build a house, and we had a lady down there who was the worker for Casas por Cristo ministry, and Amy was her name, and she was such an encourager. She didn't know that much about building. We had many on our team that were probably more experienced builders in construction of all facets, but she was such an encourager. She encouraged those people that couldn't drive a nail. She encouraged those people who couldn't push a wheelbarrow. I mean, she was just an encourager, and it made the building project go so much better, because no matter how good or bad you were in whatever you were appointed to do, she was there to encourage you and to keep you motivated, keep you primed, and keep you going. So we have people, Paul says we have people that have a gift of exhortation, and I still remember that gift that that lady had. It's almost 20 years later, and I still remember her. She stands out in my mind as a great encourager. And then Paul goes on to say, one who gives, let him do it with simplicity or liberally, like a child. So giving is also a great gift from God. Some people just take joy in giving. Some people rejoice in being able to hand out money. I have to be very careful over here in doing that, because people look to Mzungas or white people over here as kind of like a cash register or an ATM machine here. And so it's a bit tricky here, and in terms of just giving out money all the time. But I'm trying to get to the place where I'm just truly a cheerful giver and truly understand that I can't outgive God, that no matter how much money comes into the ministry or how much money I have to work with, if I just truly give it and rejoice in giving, whether it's a big project, a little project, or maybe just giving somebody on the street 50 shillings. I have people follow me on the street begging, wanting 50 shillings or 100 shillings. And I have to learn to be a cheerful giver, not resent them, not despise them, not feel threatened by them. And so the Bible says, if anybody asks you for anything and you have it, to give it to them. I'm struggling with that scripture, because I don't know if every day I want to empty my bank account. That's a challenge for me. And some of you have never been in that position, because in America, we don't have people coming up to us all the time begging for money. Maybe some people do, but I never did in America. And I never walked down the street begging from people either. But anyway, there's a challenge here in Africa, because many times people that walk with the African people were constantly bombarded with requests for money. And so I have to learn to weigh, to assess, to pray about things, and then to be a cheerful giver where God asks me to give. And so God says, do it liberally. Paul says, do it liberally, like a child. You know, a child will give half of, most of the time, will give half of what they have and not feel anything about it. They're just happy to share it, happy to share a piece of candy, happy to share glass of milk, whatever. And so that's what God wants us to do, is to learn to give liberally, just like a child. Then Paul goes on to say, he who leads, do it with diligence. Or in other words, do it with authority and do it with persistence. That's diligence. Be persistent and do it with authority. Some people just have the grace to lead. They're natural born leaders, you would say, and many times those people are elevated, of course, to the position in the military to be the general or to be the captain. And we have those kind of leaders in the church as well. Sometimes people are a natural leader in the church. They feel comfortable standing up in front of people, organizing and directing and telling people what to do, where to go, all that kind of stuff. But they do it with grace and with humility. And so their leadership then is really appreciated by the others in the group. Then Paul goes on to say, we're still in verse 8, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And he's saying that is a gift to show mercy. Some people have a hard time giving mercy to other people. They're always wanting vengeance. They have a hard time forgiving when somebody offends them. God says when you have mercy, when you have that gift of mercy, then you enjoy giving people mercy just as Jesus himself gave people mercy. Jesus was hanging on the cross, had suffered immeasurably, had suffered tremendously, and while he was still hanging on the cross, suffering and dying and bleeding out every last drop of blood out of his body, he cried out, he said to them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so he was still asking for mercy, even in that dreadful situation that he was in. He was still asking for mercy for those who were tormenting and torturing him and had nailed him to the cross. And so Paul says that is a gift. Extend to people the grace of God. That's mercy. Extend to people the grace they do not deserve and give them grace so that they can feel wanted, they can feel loved, they can feel cherished. And so mercy is a gift from God. And then Paul says in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, and then be given to hospitality. In other words, treat strangers and friends alike, people that you know, but especially strangers, aliens in your midst, treat them with respect, treat them with love, and that's not to refute laws at borders. That's not to say everybody gets to come in America because we're treating them with hospitality. No, there has to be borders. Try to cross from Kenya into Somalia. See how far you get without documents. Try to cross from Kenya into Uganda. See how far you get without documents. There has to be laws. There has to be borders. God created the nations. He said, go into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So God is the one that created nations. He created the borders. And so that is an honorable thing, to keep the laws of each nation, keep the laws of immigration. When you come into Kenya, you have to fill out an immigration form. And when you come to America from Kenya, you have to fill out an immigration form, get a visa. You can't just walk in legally. You can't just walk in. That is illegal when you come in without any documentation, without any forms or paperwork. And so that is not necessarily a good thing. Well, James says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. In him there is no change or shifting shadow. And so the gifts of God that he gives here, these gifts are for the body of believers, the body of Christ. Each one individually has a gift. Each one has something that they specialize in, they have a passion for, and that they love to do, and God then gives them more wherever there is an abundance. God says, I'm going to even give you more, and wherever there's a lack or somebody not using the gift that they have, God takes it away from them, and he gives it to those who have an abundance and those who are using the gifts that he has. Well, in terms of giving, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, because one of the gifts that Paul listed there in verse 8 was giving. One who gives, let him do it with simplicity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, Paul says this, but this I say, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So don't resent God because he's asking you to give. Don't resent me because I ask you to give to help this ministry to help promote the projects that we have in Africa. Don't get upset and turn your radio off when that happens. Every ministry has to have support. Your local church has to have support. Your local pastor has to have support. Without money, without provision, without support, nothing will happen in the ministry, not in Africa, not in America, or anywhere else in the world. Money is just a medium of exchange, and ministers need it. If you're going to come to Africa to look at the lions, you've got to have a ticket to get on the airplane. If you're coming to preach the gospel, you have to have a ticket to get on the airplane. Nobody's going to give it to you for free. And if you're going to build a church or build a clinic here, you have to have money to buy the bricks and the cement. Nobody's going to give it to you for free. And in fact, people say here in Africa, I've heard it said many times, the gospel is expensive, because the people here in Africa have come to realize that people in ministry that come here from around the world have money, and they have money to spend for development. They want to build hospitals and clinics and churches and all of that type of thing. And so it takes money. And so these people get accustomed to charging the ministers of the gospel and ministries. They get accustomed to charging them a little bit higher rate probably than they would if they were just coming here for some other purpose. Those are the gifts given by God to the body of Christ, and you can study those on your own, Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 5. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. We invite you to partner with this ministry. Help us as we take the gospel, the good news of the gospel, to the nations of East Africa. Help us as we take care of the children here in our children's home, and we would like to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you even today. Sit down, write us out a check. Let us know you're listening. Promote this radio broadcast. Promote this ministry as we take the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves, to the nation of Africa. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week.